means. It was sin working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. From the letter of Paul to the Romans, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of those mornings where I definitely hope that my sermon is a little bit easier to follow than Paul's line of reasoning in his letter. Because our epistle lesson today actually begins sort of mid-thought, with Paul responding to a train of reasoning that he has presented in regards to the law and sin, and how apart from the law, man in his ignorance was alive. But when the law was given, it brought death. So here he is clarifying that it wasn't in fact the law itself that brought death, it was the sin that it revealed which took hold of our perverse nature and led us to transgression that brought death. Again, I hope I'm tracking better than Paul here. And this is all part of his larger argument as to why we need a Savior. But today I want to focus specifically on this refutation of the idea that the law might actually be evil, since without it, death didn't have dominion over us. I mean, at first glance, this seems kind of silly, even absurd. Of course God wouldn't give a law that is evil. So why would Paul even feel the need to go down this path? Well, the first thing we have to do is to take into account Paul's audience. He is writing to a primarily Gentile Christian audience in Rome without the foundation of the relationship that God had shared with Israel. So with this in mind, it's easier to understand how Gentiles might need some teaching as to the goodness and righteousness of the law of Moses. Having never been under the law, they would need some extra instruction on the nature of the law. This clarification actually also helps to combat the belief that the God of the Old Testament is somehow different from the God of the New Testament, which actually still managed to manifest itself in the heresy of Marcionism, which came to prominence in Rome, of all places, within 100 years of the writing of this letter. Now, looking at the audience, we now see another need for this line of reasoning from Paul, which I think is more applicable for us today. And that need comes from the conclusion that what Paul is arguing against may not actually be that absurd at all. Think about it. If guilt came through the law, and we desire to be free of that guilt, there are really two options. The first option is to agree that the law is good, which Paul puts forth, and to strive to live according to that law, and when we transgress, we repent and continue to strive. This is very obviously the Christian response to this law versus nature problem. When faced with a law contrary to our fleshly nature, we work to reshape our nature, understanding that the flaw is not in the law, but within us. But there is another option, should we wish to be free from the guilt of transgressing against the law, and that is to mold the law to fit our nature, or just write the law off completely altogether. And this is a trend we see in our society as a whole. Our culture is working to tear down the stigma of all kinds of things previously considered shameful or taboo. Now, to be fair, in many cases, this isn't a bad thing. For instance, tearing down the stigmatization of persons who have been the victims of abuse or those who suffer from mental illness is a very good thing. But on the other hand, there are things that really should carry a stigma. Promiscuity, for instance. In some cases, shame can act as a deterrent for behaviors that really should be avoided. But when the greatest good becomes being free of shame and guilt, it's much more appealing to just deem the culture as oppressive and continue to entertain our baser appetites. when we remove the shame from shameful things, as opposed to refraining from that which is rightfully shameful, we can essentially have our cake and eat it too. And for some of us, that's literal cake. So when we look at law and grace, it shouldn't be an either-or proposition. Either we live by the law and remain dead in our sin because we are unable to follow it perfectly, or we live by grace and throw out that silly old law. No, it is a both-and situation. We need grace because we cannot fully uphold the law. But that doesn't mean that the law is not still good and holy and righteous, as it was given by God to govern His people. When we do find ourselves guilty under the law, which we all do, this is where grace steps in and gives us an opportunity through repentance by the blood of Jesus Christ to be found blameless before God. So it really is unfortunate that Paul has to make these kinds of clarifications. I mean, earlier in the same letter, he poses the question of, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? We live in a feel-good culture, which kind of makes sense because humans are pretty much hardwired to want to feel good. I mean, if we can do whatever we want and live free of any guilt, wouldn't that be just the best? After all, Jesus paid the price for our sins. So why don't we just run up the tab and really make it worth it? No. Jesus calls us to live a life free of sin because He fully understands the weight of that sin and that the only thing that it brings is death. We have been called to life. And the more we cast off our sin, the more prepared we will be and the more eagerly we will desire the kingdom where there is no sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.